Welcome back to the DOCSF podcast. I'm Dr. Stefano Bini, founder of the Digital Orthopedics Conference and podcast. Over the next 9 weeks, we'll bring you the audio highlights from the 2025 UCSF Digital Orthopedics Conference, held in San Francisco on October 3rd, 2025. Each week, you'll hear a 40-minute session exploring topics that are shaping the future of orthopedics, from artificial intelligence and workflow automation to medtech frontiers, scientific insights, financial innovation, and our ever-popular Startups We Love showcase. For our opening episode, please welcome our moderator, Dr. Sarah Edwards, a UCSF faculty member and leader in orthopedic innovation. She'll guide a fascinating session on AI and automation, featuring discussions on agents, radical time transparency with Charlie DeCook, and how insurers are incorporating AI into their own workforces.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a great morning. I am thrilled to be here. Welcome to, can you believe it, the 10th Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco. The world looks so different today than it did 10 years ago. But here's the good news. This is exactly the world we predicted. If you go back to look at what we were talking about 10 years ago, it's essentially reality today, which, if past history says anything about the future, what you hear about today will be reality in the next 2 to 3 years as we move into a digital future or a digitally enabled future, a co-pilot future, a future with agents. I am thrilled by the faculty we have today. I'm honored by the audience we have today. Amongst you are some of the smartest and brightest people I've ever had a chance to interact with. I want to quote you what I was told when I sat down with my freshman class at Stanford years ago. And the dean got up there and said, look around, because you'll learn more from the people sitting next to you than anybody up on the podium. So the reality of what happened at DocSF in the years past is that that has actually happened. Over and over again, what I hear back is, boy, I met that one or two people that kind of changed the way I think about things. And so the beauty of what happens at DocSF happens in interstitial space between the conference and the talks. And I encourage you guys to take advantage and just go up to somebody and say, hey, never seen you before. Great talk. Let's talk and have a conversation. That is really what so much happens. Another quote, I always forget this guy's name, but he said, it's, you know, I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one. I have forced each of our speakers who frequently give keynotes an hour long to keep it to 6 to 8 minutes and distill down the most important things that they've learned in the last year or so in the conversation you have today. So give you a quick setup of how this is set up. We tell a story at DocSF. We start with the didactic sessions where we're all awake. So in the morning, it's lectures, basically. Then we get into some more practical stuff. We hear from, I think, 14 startups about things they're doing today that we can use in our practices. And then we get into breakouts. And we'll hear more about that. But those sessions are amazing. They're very focused, getting down to nuts and what is that, bricks and the bottom line of how to get make things happen. Nuts and bolts. Yeah, I got that late. And also, lastly, I want to thank the sponsors, all the companies you see here. Thank you so much for being here with us. So give everybody a round of applause. And in advance to all the amazing speakers and moderators that are helping us today. So I'm going to have asked Dr. Ben Ma to come up and join us today for a minute. He's our newly minted chair of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. He's also been able to kick off DocSF one at a time. And we're so glad you could make time to come with us today. Ben?
Wow, look at the audience over here, guys. All excited, all energetic. This is actually my second year I kick off the meeting over here, Stefano. So I'm Ben Ma, chair of the Department of Orthopedic Surgery at UCSF. I'm a sports medicine shoulder surgeon. I already kind of met a few people this morning about shoulder technology. So I'm excited to kind of continue the conversation. And as Stefano mentioned too, this is kind of what it's about. It's not about sitting in a room, listening to a lecture. This is about really building connections. And I, as a practicing clinician, really excited about, you know, how you guys are going to change how we practice medicine in the next few years. Technology is coming. You have to embrace it. I keep on telling our faculty that you have to change and you have to adapt. And orthopedic surgeons are pretty good about adapting. So we like to kind of try new things. We are usually the innovative group within the, you know, medical field. So what's, you know, better kind of married like orthopedic surgeon and technology group right now? So this is the 10th year, you know, Stefano. Can't believe time flew by. This is actually also the first year that we incorporate some research into the meeting also. I want to thank OIF, Lee Grossman, you know, at the back over there, in the front of it, sponsor us in terms of having, you know, some awards to recognize some of the innovation. And I'm looking forward to spending time with you all. So have a great meeting. Thanks, guys. Yeah.
I am honored to introduce Sarah Edwards. Just kicked us off in our first session. Thank you very much, Sarah. She's one of our sports medicine docs here. Very involved with technology and startups in the ecosystem here.
Thank you, Steph, for having me today. I'm Dr. Sarah Edwards. I'm a shoulder and sports surgeon as well from UCSF. And happy to see some friends in the room. I have some unexpected friends here, so I was happy. So if I could have the speakers come on up and we'll just take a seat. Yeah, be ready. Our first speaker is Charlie DeCook. You're up next, but you're going to go ahead and speak to us about bringing light into the OR. Radical time transparency need not be complicated.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thanks for having me. Congratulations, DocSF. This is an exciting course, and I'm really honored to be with you today. The next slide's a bunch of disclosures about what all I'm involved with. We're out of Atlanta, and we have hyper-efficient, hyper-specialized ASCs. So we have four ASCs, and we've done that with technology, so we're going to demonstrate that for you today. Basically, what I'll describe to you is this. We've decided that ASCs are the future, as a lot of us in this room know. And to do that, we have created some new technologies that basically track a patient through their entire experience, both before the surgery, during the surgery, and after the surgery. And that has allowed us to reach a level of efficiency we didn't think was possible. We recently published on 12 by 12, which is doing 12 joint arthroplasties in two rooms by 12 o'clock. And that has allowed us to really change the game and bring added value to groups around the country. So now we're talking with multiple groups around the country to reestablish this. So that was phase one of our hyper efficiency. So what I'm going to do is describe phase two. Basically, phase two was this. We realized that not only do we need hyper efficient ASCs, so time has to be visible, it has to be personal. And this is what we give to each surgeon every week and month in terms of what our efficiency looks like. And it then becomes value to everyone. And this is what it is. So this is one team. This is in your operating room. For all the surgeons in the room, you can get your Zimmer Biomet rep now that owns it to bring it into your room and start evaluating how well you're doing. We create an amazing customer experience that lasts less than 3 hours. So our goal with every customer that we have is that they're in and out of their surgery for their hip or knee or their shoulder or whatever sports case you're doing in under 3 hours. We have this platform that you will see later today. And this is what it looks like. So at the end of every day, this is my text that I receive, my average surgery time below, closing times, turnover times there. And every time when that last patient leaves, I get that text. This is phase two. So this is what I mentioned. Offsite sterilization, we think, is the future. And we think surgeons controlling implants is the future. You know, I always thought it was funny in my surgery center, we know how many gloves and sutures and how many gowns, but I have no idea of the $5 million of inventory I have in my surgery center. That made no sense. And eventually that rub is going to end. We came up with JoinOps, and we agree with Abridge that, listen, this is an incredible opportunity for AI. But the surgeon leaves quickly. And next, they start talking to a surgery center, to a surgery scheduler. And there's this wall that happens, because by the time that surgery scheduler talks to that patient, maybe a month, 2 months later, we do the surgery and nobody knows about it. There's a brick wall. AI can solve that. So instead of your rep coming 2 days before to talk to your scheduler, okay, what cases are scheduled? No, there's complete transparency now. And instead, there is no push. So what I mean by push is this. What does your rep do? They bring in every single implant for that one case. That is not sustainable anymore. Too much money. So we had to break down this wall. And this is JoinOps. So very excited to unveil this. We have AVA, which is your AI surgery schedule assistant. So you call a number and you schedule your surgery and suddenly everyone knows about it. That's the long and short of it. So this is AVA here. So this is what pops up. And not only does my surgery scheduler know about it, not only does my patient know about it, the surgeon knows about it, my implant rep does, the manufacturer knows about it, everyone knows about it. It's transparent, finally. And that demand signal gets pushed out to everyone all at once. And guess what? When that reschedule happens, which every surgeon in the room knows that happens all day, every day, who doesn't know about it? The implant company. Guess who knows about it now? The implant company. Stock transparency. So now in your ASC, now you can keep track of what you have in your ASC. And you do that with AVA. So inventory management, and we track everything. So we track the totes. If we need to bring totes in, we track the implants. Not only in the ASC, but we track everything. So there's visibility into everything on the logistics side. And there it is. So I think with that, because of time, I'm going to end. Thank you very much.
I want to hear so much more. I find that interesting. And you didn't really get a chance to touch on it, but tell me a little more about the outsourcing of the sterilization that you're planning on. Because I think that's kind of
Great thing about building ASCs is you no longer have to build them with sterile processing. Sterile processing is an expensive part of building it. The other nice thing is it takes burden off of your staff and it allows you to be more specialized and to keep it tighter. So for us, our last three surgery centers, we built it without an SPD, and that has been a big thing. So we just bring in the implant and the instrument the day of, and that has totally changed our logistics.
But where's it being processed?
At an offsite facility that we have a relationship with our implant vendor for.
All right. Great. Very interesting and timely. All right. Our next speaker is Archana Dubey, and she's going to talk about how healthcare insurers are using AI and the implications for tomorrow.
This is probably the most popular topic today. So we talked about documentation. So that leads to procedure, that leads to billing, and here comes the reimbursement and the health insurance. Health insurance industry, out of $4.9 trillion that we are sitting at, the cost of healthcare probably has the biggest pie through the administration transaction that they do. So AI is so ripe for inventing or reinventing this industry. When we look at adoption, healthcare is number four in adoption of AI, which is surprising because in the past, when cloud happened and internet happened, healthcare was kind of lagging behind. I'm so excited that it is actually taking on AI rather fast and we are not that behind. And the reason is that AI adoption has been taken on because of the governance and the guardrails that have been put in the process as we are adopting Gen AI and our newer technologies. Compliance, governance are an important aspect of healthcare. So as we think about it coming into the health plan space, not only it's a financial institute, but it's also a healthcare institute. So these two guardrails become really important. Second thing is convenience. So I'm a practicing clinician. Convenience of, you know, prior authorization flowing through, being able to make decisions in the moment at the point of care time is really, really important. So convenience, speed, efficacy, or effectiveness and productivity become really important, specifically in the health plan space. Not only it hits the bottom line for them, but also it hits the relationship with the provider. So let's kind of go through the bottom line. This is an eye chart, but I do want to kind of unveil behind the wraps what is happening. And before I go there, let me share my background. I'm a primary care physician by training. So what am I talking about? Health plan, because I've taken a journey to kind of follow the impact on the patient. So first I was treating one patient at a time, then I became large employers benefit partner, so to say a population health strategist. So we were treating 350,000 patients at a time. And then in my prior job, which is 2.5 years at United Healthcare, we had 3 million lives that I was caring for as a fully insured and ASO plan. So as a population health strategist, I was managing, not denying, managing the medical cost for my population. And I utilized a lot of AI to shore up, and I will share one of the case studies, to shore up resources to make sense so that people are using the right care at the right time and really being savvy about the cost of care. So let's look at the P&L line item. So we think that the health plan is pretty big, but if you look at their operating margins, they are 2 to 5% only, because a lot of work that gets done with high cost resources, whether it's a large portion of nurses that are doing a lot of these administrative work or administrative staff that is doing administrative work. So most of the money that comes through is through the premium, as you know, 95%. Some other investments and other income does happen, which is 5%. So that comes to about 100%. Out of that, most of what they pay out is the medical claim, which is about 80 to 85%, depending on how well their CMO is helping manage the medical loss ratio. And then comes the administrative expense, which is the salaries and G&A. So that is 12 to 15%. That is where most of the AI adoption is happening if you look at inside of healthcare industry. And if they can optimize that, then they can actually spread out much better. They can shore up more resources for the patients and the providers. Like I said, taxes and fees are kind of minimal, but operating margin is very, very minimal for unlike we think as big health plan. The AI opportunities, so if any of you are inventors, entrepreneurs, and others, I have created a list of AI opportunities that you could kind of think about if you're thinking of serving the health plan. But let's kind of double click on that. So one of the main areas that most health plans are currently working on and adopting AI is elevating the member experience, because it's a marketplace. These health plans are trying to get the attention of the member. So enrollment, engagement, care navigation, care management, those things become important. Second is transforming claim operations, which includes the stop loss management, benefit verification. These are dry, cut and dry things, but it's very important. In my case, for example, we would be looking at a baby is born. Is that the dad's insurance going to cover or the mom's insurance is going to cover? So those are kind of benefit verification things that happen behind the scenes that allow us to better manage the claims. And then, of course, as you know, the approval, denial, and appeal management, which is the highest friction rub with the providers. And that also is getting tail end, but it's not such a big AI adoption at this point. Enhancing decision-making on pricing. So especially on commercial side, how do we price this population that we are covering? That's become really important in underwriting and pricing. And the last bit is network management. How do we contract with the providers? How do we manage their credentialing, quality outcomes, prior authorization, and roster data? So some of the core AI applications actually enable instant responses, accelerates approvals, and streamlines reimbursement, and accurate risk assessment of the population. And it's important, especially in the Medicare space, because you get paid based on the risk of the population that you're managing. And then some of the advanced AI capabilities that we are entertaining inside of health insurance is focused on personalized assistance. So dynamic pricing or dynamic benefit plan is like a shortest plan is something that is using a lot of AI capabilities, where the cost of the premium coverage is different for each individual. And then also fraud protection, so in which they look at how do we reduce the burden on somebody who's investigating a fraud, waste, and abuse case. And then, of course, looking at proactive risk management. So we anticipate X number of diabetics in the population, or we anticipate there is a maternity desert in the Palm Springs area. How do we shore up resources in those areas so that we can cover the pregnant women in those areas? Like I talked about, benefits being advanced, claim processing, very relevant for knee replacements and all the other orthopedic surgeries that you do. But they also personalize wellness, which is very important because an asthma patient A is not equal to an asthma patient B. So that how do you better support them with personalized wellness? And then, of course, enhanced security. So how the training AI models running through three different areas. So the providers are getting the documentation at Abridge, for example. It comes through the transaction engine to the health plan, and then it gets the payout back to the provider. Those are security areas that we want to kind of tie up together. And then, of course, the predictive risk reduction. There are challenges, huge challenges, not just for the health plan. I think these are relevant for the health system at UCSF too. But data protection is a high, high area, severely burnt. Several health plans have been burnt through that. Legacy system integrations. There is a lot of layers of old systems that are still in function. And how do you bring AI and start to integrate with those? They may not even have API integrations, for example. And then, of course, is your team ready? And of course, the cost management of implementation of these, who is going to do the lift? Yeah, so this is an implementation roadmap. Some of the health systems are also health plan. So as they're thinking about getting the AI to work for them and adopting, it is obviously a continuous journey.
Thank you. I find that really interesting. I know one of the most interesting things I found about the United Healthcare Death CEO, which was horrible, but was that there was a lot in the media about AI taking over on the insurance side. And so at home, I'm reading all these things and I started creating AI templates to fight back to get my approvals. And so I know you're on more of the health plan side, but I'm hoping that companies like Abridge will help us fight, you know, at least have all the data. If I'm indicating a rotator cuff surgery, you know, I now have templates that put all the medical decision-making in there. They reference things. So I call them my bulletproof notes. So anyway, are you starting to see that from other providers or?
Yeah. So let me answer this in my UHC way. And then as a CEO of Arches Accelerator, So I would, in my capacity as a CMO in my market, we launched two specific products. And of course, do you think the health plan is not aware of the friction that happens because there's a transaction? Let's all kind of pretend that we are not doctors. Let's all think we are humans and we need care, or a loved one needs care. Don't we want our health plan to fight for the better cause, the better outcome, all of those things? So health plan is a function of a necessity. We can have a discussion, is right or wrong, another place. I have my thoughts internally and externally both ways, but health plan is here to stay for a while. So a few things that, at least in the capacity at UHC as a CMO that we did, we launched what is called Point of Care Assist, which is a provider payer partnership with Epic, working with several very high functioning value-based providers across the country. And what it enabled, and we did utilize machine learning, we did utilize also a rule-based algorithms during that time, that if a provider is writing a prescription or writing for a procedure, the approval happens in real time. And if there was something that was missing, which is very similar to what Abridge is doing in Nudge, if there's something that was missing, there was a box that would not allow them to go forward unless they want to say, I want to do it later. And so that's called POCA. It is a very much developed alongside Epic, which also we can talk more about on bottle of wine, whatever, but Epic and Pair, and it's called the Epic Pair platform that was delivering that. The second one was the gold carding. So there is gold carding is happening by a state mandate, or it is happening through the health plan initiative. So they utilized a lot of, and I'm saying they because I'm outside, but in my market, we actually pulled in gold carding. And we utilized a lot of AI modeling to see providers meeting criteria, clinical criteria, to approve procedures. And if they were meeting 95% of the time, they did not need to do prior authorization. And that removed the entire burden for that whole provider, and even at a group level, the need for prior authorization. So that's how the AI is utilized in the interest of the providers. So there is a healthy, a very majority subset that is sitting inside the dark side, which I did enter that for 2.5 years, the belly of healthcare.
All right, thank you for that. All right, our next speaker is Pradeep Javangula from Everest, who's going to talk about the role of agents in healthcare automation.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. I sincerely apologize to everybody. So I was coming from San Jose, but a massive accident, so down south where I am. So I'm at this firm called Everest AI Ventures. What we do is build a variety of agentically orchestrated applications and present it in the form of actually your workforce. And you might have seen sort of a presentation out today that said sort of software is eating labor and we want to be at the forefront of it. So in particular, this presentation is aimed at agentic AI teammates assisting most of you eminent physicians that are sitting here. So across the board, when you think about sort of from all the way from diagnostics to revenue cycle management, there's an end-to-end set of actions that you're involved in. We build software that impersonate humans that come in at the top and attempt to orchestrate all of these as autonomously via co-pilots and via sort of like analytical and interactive solutions. So let me just sort of like talk about, I'm going to give them sort of anthropomorphic representations here. So Arya is an imaging person and so on. I mean, you can read the sort of 10 AI teammates that we're building, and I'll go through sort of like some of them in quick details. So if you look at sort of the imaging intelligence partner, Arya, and the question of sort of being able to read and assist you with respect to sort of images and understanding anomalies associated with it by leveraging a variety of models both built by us as well as ones that exist within other environments by orchestrating them together and giving you aspects of anomaly detections and diagnostic aids. So that's sort of like Arya. And surgical planning, and this is an oft-cited problem that's associated in this environment. And How do you look at the current evidence and the historical records and data that exist across a variety of systems of records that you have, whether it be Epic or NextGen or any of your systems of record, and try to coordinate an optimizationally algorithmic approach in order to make this happen? So my background is in mathematics and computer science. I have a PhD in math, and I used to lead sort of like AI at Adobe and Workday. And the more relevant one is at Oscar Health, where I was a senior VP of data and AI. So my forays into healthcare and the issues associated with healthcare have largely been introduced in that era. So most of these have been contemplated on with partnership with experts such as you. So our entire playbook in terms of these agentic AI construction is partner with someone that is a deep domain expert. And we have a core horizontal platform that allows for these agentic AI teammates to be built. In cooperation with them, we build solutions with design partners such as you that allow us to be able to deploy our solutions. So the revenue cycle optimization is obviously a critical aspect of like what needs to happen here. So we have done this via end-to-end data integration across all of the systems of record, as I had pointed out. And many of the use cases that we have arrived at and these agentic AI teammates that we're contemplating on have been driven by consultation with physicians and practitioners in the arena. So thanks.
Thank you. That was great. It's interesting. You have quite a book of different products. And are people able to kind of piecemeal what they want?
Absolutely.
Or do you buy the whole solution?
No, okay. You don't have to build the whole solution. Okay. So the way we imagine this working, and this is working already in financial services and industrial automation and so on, is you almost actually you buy and enlist the support of this agentic teammate as if they are a person. You actually hire them. So they'll show up on Zoom meetings with you with sort of like video and audio interactions, and you can interact with them via Slack channels or with messaging and so on and so on. And so you can bark orders at them, and then the output comes back via systems of record engagement.
And then one of the things we're seeing in the shoulder world, at least, a lot of the companies are obviously have platforms to preoperatively plan our surgeries and do the modeling. And so we know what implants we're going to use when we walk in. And one thing that's bothered me is that different companies, if you look at their software, there isn't great concordance between them. And so are you benchmarking against?
Absolutely. So first and foremost is there are some that we are building from the grounds up from a modeling perspective, functionality perspective. And in other cases, we are orchestrating them, right? Meaning to the extent that there's something like an Abridge or something else that comes out of Epic or some other ones that are orchestrating some solutions, we bring them to the fore as a human would, right? It is essentially a co-pilot. It is an augmentation to human capability, not a replacement, especially in a regulated industry such as this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Next week, we'll dive into MedTech Frontiers with Unity Stokes, Daniel Kraft, Fabrizio Billy, Brandon Barbello, and Douglas Eunice. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a positive review and follow us for updates on LinkedIn and your favorite podcast platform.